You like Australians? You like AC/DC? Well, you'll like Airborne. Check out our interview with David Rhodes, guitarist, this week on Dropping the Needle. Dropping the
Needle. You're listening to Dropping the Needle, the podcast where all music from all genres is discussed. New releases, classic albums, rediscovered music, signed and unsigned. No ass kissing. Just two guys talking about music. Here are your hosts, Michael Brandvold from Michael Brandvold Marketing and Mitch LaFon.
So, Mike, this week I have a special guest joining us for Dropping the Needle. I was speaking with David Rhodes, guitarist for Australian band Airborne, and he came to my part of the world, and so I went backstage and had a little one-on-one with him.
Very cool. So these guys are very much like AC/DC, and not in a bad way. I'm not, you know... I don't want people to think that's all I see him as, but there's clear influence there. Did he come right out and admit to you they're an AC/DC influenced band?
Well, he actually does say that they love the band, you know, a lot, because growing up in Australia, you know, that's sort of like a national pastime to be an AC/DC fan. So yeah. But he also spoke about why the band makes records. I mean, I said, listen, why don't you do iTunes? Do three songs and then do three songs 6 months later. Why an album? And then, you know, we talked about why do rock? I mean, everybody says rock is dead, so why are they doing this sort of old school rock? And so he goes into that and explains all that. And of course, they talk about their new album, Black Dog Barking, which came out on May 21st.
Great rock album. I have to say, I really love the new album.
Yeah.
It's already a contender for a top 10 of 2013 for me.
It really is.
In Spotify, all I do all year long is if I get an album that I really love and gets a lot of airplay in it, I drag it into a playlist called 2013 Albums of the Year. And hope that way I don't have to worry about come December going, well, I forgot what album came out back in...
Yeah, your top 10 list is every album from November to December.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, I'm hoping by December it's going to have 25 plus albums in there. And I can go back and start, you know, cleaning it up and relisting and judging them against each other. But Airborne's Black Dog Barking is already up there as a top contender. And it's funny, you know, I think my criteria for making that playlist is repeated plays.
Right.
It's not so much I'm sitting here going, well, listen to the guitar structure and the sound and the it's like, no, if this album has been out a week and I've already listened to it like 5 days in a row, contender. If it came out 2 weeks ago and I listened to it once and haven't cared about it again, Not a contender.
Yeah. Or the ones where you sit down and you listen to three songs and then you go away for a few hours or a few days and you listen to the other three. No. This is the kind of album where you sit down, you listen from 1 to 10 and you got to hear the whole thing.
That and, you know, I'll get that craving. It's like, oh, you know, I really want to listen to that new Airborne track today. It might not be the whole album. It's just like, I want to listen to a couple of those songs again. And, you know, so you get that craving that you got to go listen to it. So, no, I think this new Airborne is great. Black Dog Barking. I saw these guys in concert, I don't know, a couple years ago on the Rockstar Mayhem Energy Festival tour, whatever. They were on a side stage. Man, just balls to the walls, energy. Guy was climbing the amps and singing from top of the amps.
And that's what's great about them. And that's one thing I want to point out is the live show. Even if you don't pick up the album for whatever reason, but if they're in your town, you got to go see them. I mean, I saw them at
this place called... It's a rock show, man.
Oh, they were at a place called the Corona in Montreal that seats maybe 1,000 people. And you could have sworn you were in Wembley Stadium, in a sold-out Wembley Stadium. I mean, there was just... An amount of energy it was just unbelievable. And their new single, Live It Up, it sounds to me as though it's something I've heard for the last 20 years. It was so familiar from the first play, you know? Anyway, great band and a great conversation. Sat back there, like I said, with David Rhodes. He's the rhythm guitarist. He does background vocals. We sat down for about 20 minutes, so hopefully fans will enjoy our conversation.
Yeah, and I'm cool. You know, I'm glad you got a chance to sit down with them. I love that we can intermix some of these shows with some of these face-to-face interviews that you that you get with, you know, Carmen and Vinny last week and Airborne this week. And, you know, it's cool. It's a nice little change of pace to the show.
Sure, yeah. And there'll be a lot more coming up in the summer months because, you know, as bands go on the road, and of course Canada, you have to wait for the summer. You don't want to tour here in the winter. We'll be doing a few more of these this summer.
Very cool.
So we'll see with who, but there'll be more.
All right. So as always, guys, leave us your comments. Head over to droppingtheneedle.com or facebook.com/droppingtheneedle. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of the new Airborne album. You know, it's not going to change our thoughts, but let us know if you like it. You know, I get here's interesting. Do you think these guys are too much like AC/DC?
Yeah.
You know, because what comes to mind is back in the 80s when Kingdom Come came out, and they were just like an exact ripoff of Led Zeppelin. Does that turn you off? You know, how do you feel about bands that do that type of stuff?
Yeah, you know, they get the AC/DC rap, but I really think they have their own unique sound and own unique approach. But I know the media, because they're from Australia, likes to go with that AC/DC angle, but really they're not a copycat. If you ask me, they're not just some cheap knockoff.
No, not at all.
It's not a counterfeit Gucci bag that you're getting here. You're getting the real deal with Airborne. Yep. But, you know, enjoy that. And by the way, if folks out there, if you enjoy the show, you know, cut and paste our link and stick it on your Facebook and send it to your friends and, you know, spread the word.
Yeah, share it on Facebook. Tell people. Go leave a review. Search for Dropping the Needle on iTunes. Leave a review. Rate it for us. We're going to keep doing this, but feedback and stuff like that always helps let us know what's good, what's bad, what you like, what you don't like.
All right.
So
David Rhodes of Airborne.
Let's kick into that interview here. Thanks, Mitch.
So we're here with David from Airborne. Welcome to Montreal.
Well, yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, so we've got so many things to talk about. First, you've got this new album, Black Dog Barking. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's been a long time in the making. We've been home the last year and a half writing, so we've had a good amount of time, you know, to...
You haven't been at the beach on the sun coast?
Well, we live on the beach in Melbourne, but in the wintertime it's not too flash. But, you know, it's third album, so we've just been home last year and a half writing that, which has been good. And we've recorded it. It's before Christmas last year with Canadians, actually. Brian Howes and Jay Van Puteroyen.
Nice.
They were originally from Vancouver.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that's interesting, I find, is you're doing this sort of retro rock music, this is called rock music. A lot of bands aren't doing that these days. They keep saying, rock is dead, rock doesn't sell. Why aren't you doing more, I don't know, electronica then? Like, why rock music?
Rock's never been dead. It's always been there. It's, you know, it's just, I guess, you know, through the 90s, we went to secondary school in the 90s, but we never listened to what was going on at that time. We've always just listened to our old records and old bands, and, you know, it's, I guess music kind of works in some kind of a cycle, like the weather in a way, like, you know, what was in the 90s isn't around now, and rock and roll seems to be kind of working its way back around again, become full circle. But, you know, it's that's the only kind of music we've grown up with and loved playing, and, you know, that's all we wanted to do.
That's all you want to do. Was it tougher getting accepted by the record companies when you brought the demo down? They say, what are you doing?
Well, we didn't really chase the record labels. I mean, we grew up in a small town, but we knew we had to move to Melbourne.
Okay.
To get down to the big city just to play more shows. So, you know, we gave up our jobs, and a couple of guys that ain't just finished school, we all lived in together in Melbourne, and our goal was to just, you know, play as many shows as we could, and we lived off the dole and lived like shit for quite a while.
Right.
Until, you know, I think we got a promoter first. We did the hard yards, and you know, our promoter picked us up and he started putting us on.
Does that create a better bond with the band if you go through those struggles together?
Oh, totally. Yeah. We've definitely become like a tight unit over those years, and we've gone through the highs and the lows together. So it definitely adds to the character of the band, I guess.
So now, you know, in today's music world, you know, back in the days, you made an album, there was a lot of tour support and videos and MTV and the whole thing. How do you make an album successful now? And how do you make a band successful now?
Oh, well, it's just, I guess, I don't know, you know, we've always been about our live show and just, you know, just doing our thing and making sure, you know, like working with good producers. I mean, we're trying to, you know, we're a rock and roll band that's that old style, but we're trying to be, you know, like the Airborne thing, like stay true to our roots, meat and potatoes kind of rock and roll, but also have that young, fresh, modern flavour to it as well.
Well, how important is touring then in the whole process now?
Very important. You know, you've got to get out there and play as much as you can. That's another you know, code we've always lived by. We didn't want to be one of those bands that just had an overnight single and all of a sudden you're massive in the charts.
Right.
You know, sometimes that's unhealthy, that kind of growth in your career. I reckon you can fall down as quick as you've gone up. So we're trying to do it the old way that Metallica and
Motorhead. Come on, you can say it.
And Iron Maiden, another band, they just kind of went up there and, you know, they won their fans by touring. You know, they're hardcore fans, the ones that'll stay true to them.
You know, it's funny because you did say full circle about, you know, how the music world comes back on. That's what we're, you know, this is the 1970s again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, back then there was no MTV. You had to tour. So what are the plans for touring this year? Now, tonight you're starting in Montreal for the first Canadian date. But where do we go from here?
We've got Toronto tomorrow night. But then unfortunately we're only doing two shows in Canada tonight and tomorrow night. And then we're off to Europe for the festivals over summer.
That's right. End of May, beginning of June, huh?
Yeah.
So a lot of rain and a lot of piss bottles, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, literally, you might get pissed on a download festival in England. That's notorious for getting rained out.
But, all the time.
But, we're coming back to Canada later in the year, you know, kind of late August, September, or it might be even October, somewhere around then. We're going to, or even early August, I'm not real sure yet, but we are getting back here.
Oh, good.
But, because we've just come off doing a string of American shows. We've did a few headlines of our own and a bunch of Shinedown supports. And just snuck over the border for these two shows.
Oh, Shinedown support, nice.
Yeah.
And they're going to open for Kiss this summer. All through
That's
Canada,
right, they so. Are. Yeah.
Now, how do you market an album in these days? I mean, what's your plan? I mean, is it all YouTube? Do you Twitter a lot? Like, where do you go to get the word out?
Yeah, internet plays a big part, really. Okay. Like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, that's all kind of the modern day kind of ways of promoting. Like, even before shows, you know, we try to get onto Twitter and Facebook and go, hey, guys, we're playing tonight, you know, to have that one-on-one kind of connection with your fans. It's very important. YouTube's great. It's got its pros and cons, I guess. You know, bands used to play there before the album comes out. Bands used to play material for the album, you know, just to trial it live and see how it's going. But because of YouTube, can kind of wreck that. You know, people can film and, you know,
but isn't that
spoil
doesn't it go both ways though? It can get fans excited at the same time.
What
was that new song? You know.
Well, that's right. Yeah, YouTube's great for.
It's a bit of both.
I guess it kicks you up the ass a bit, YouTube, as well, because you have to play every show, like, you know, just, you can't have a bad one because, you know.
Well, you can't have one for funny clips, though.
You got to treat every show like you're playing to the world because.
Well, you are. I mean, these days with these bloody little things, hey, how's it going? So, tell me musically, what's the style on the new album? I mean, is it still sort of the same thing or progressing, or do we have violins in it? Where are we going?
It's, if anything, it's
with a symphony or
like Metallica did, yeah. None of that, maybe the next album, but it's very like, in some kind of ways, we've kind of gone back to Running Wild kind of style.
Right.
You know,
good.
We just wanted to do a.
That's what got fans excited, right?
Yeah, we just wanted to do a rocker. You know, we mentioned that a little bit on No Guts, No Glory, songs like Blonde, Bad and Beautiful, right, and Bottom of the Well. This album, we just want to get in there and just make an action-packed rocker. You know, there's still the flavours of mid-tempos and slower tempos, but there's a few more faster ones on this one.
Is it important to sort of stick to one sound, or is it important to keep switching? I mean, you know, you got the sort of two schools. AC/DC have done, you know, 12 of the same album.
Yep.
And then you look at maybe Metallica, who's Saint Anger and Load, and they played it. Where do you think?
I think, and Motorhead's another classic example.
Right.
They've stayed true to their, you know, the same style right throughout all their albums. And I don't think you can venture too far with being a rock band. You just, people want rock. You don't want to take it too far. There's your guidelines and your parameters.
Is that a good thing or is it frustrating?
That's a great thing. Rock and roll is rock and roll. Why change it too much, you know?
Okay.
Why get too creative? You know, you don't want to get too creative. And
so you're not looking to have congas and keyboards on your next album.
No, probably not keyboards. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, and I think over the last two albums, we're more and more becoming, the Airborne sound is developing. You know, you obviously always hear our influences in our music, which
a lot of people refer to you as the next AC/DC.
Yeah.
Compliment or like?
Oh, positive? Yeah. Oh, we love AC/DC. Okay. You know, we're not trying to hide them, as well as Motorhead, Judas Priest, Rose Tattoo, another band. Right. The list goes on, really. Well, we're influenced.
There's a good Australian reference for you. So, what's the album cycle on this one? You're on tour, you're going to do the European stuff in the summer, North America back in the fall. Do you start writing right away, or do you go all the way down, or two-year cycle?
Well, hopefully, yeah. Well, we're booking stuff right up into next year. We're even talking summer festivals for mid next year as well. So, I mean, the album comes out in another week, so this is just the beginning, really. So, we'll be this year where shows are getting locked in right up to Christmas, and then
it's got to be exciting, though.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, it's,
you know, you got a job for the next little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, the last album we toured it for 11 months. Like solid overseas, and then we went home and then come back.
What does that mean, solid? You're talking 200 shows in a year, or you're talking?
Well, it's probably nearly about that. Yeah, it's 11 months solid. Meaning we just went 11 months straight. We
had no stop.
We left Australia. We didn't see it again. Another 11 to 12 months.
That's got to be.
We just went solid, living off buses and backstage rooms and so on.
Now the other thing I want to know is, so you made an album, and I have it here, but it's, I think it's 10 or 12 songs. Why? I mean, why make albums in this world? Why not just put a single on YouTube, run around, put another single up in 3 months? I mean, why an album?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it might eventually go that way as well. Because I know, you know, you don't sell a lot of albums like bands used to in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s.
So, I mean, why go through the hassle of writing and sequencing and artwork and just make a song, throw it up.
I don't know. There's still like your fans out there that love. Right. Like we still do a print on vinyl as well, because we know there's a portion of our fans. I mean, I still collect vinyl.
Yeah.
And I would love, if I was a fan of the band, I'd want to have it on vinyl. And just being a rock and roll band, we still want to cater for those people and do that sort of thing.
Oh shit.
And
it's all right.
But I don't know. I really don't know where it's going to go in the future.
But do you think it's still necessary to make albums?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think, I mean, me personally, I still like to buy an album because I want the artwork, I want the booklet, I want the lyrics.
Yeah, I agree. I want that too.
I want all that. So I think I know people either, you know, you download it, which you can't really stop if it's illegally, or you buy it off iTunes. But you know what? I really don't know.
I interviewed Skid Row last week, and they're doing a 5-song EP now. 3 months from now, another 5-song EP, and then 3 months later, another 5-song EP, and I'm like, well, that's an interesting concept. They're going to have 15 songs, which is an album, but I don't know, is that a smart thing to do, you think? And not to rag on Skid Row, obviously, but is that something you could see your band doing someday?
So, I don't know, at the moment we're just, you know, we come off the road, we write when we're on the road, and then we get that little small gap between tours when we've toured the last album, we come off and we just go into pre-production pretty much straight away.
Okay. So you write all through on the road?
Yeah, well, as much as we can, yeah. Okay. We're always coming up with ideas and sound check. And
so in theory, as you're touring now, the next album is sort of slowly taking shape with a riff here and a...
You never stop, we're always putting, like, if we come up with an idea, we'll put it down. You know, record it down and just have it away in the bank.
Okay.
And so you never stop, you know, and you're influenced when you're on the road traveling as well, so.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, like when, as I was saying before, when we come into pre-production after, as soon as we finish touring this album, we'll, you know, hopefully we might do something different this time, come straight off. If we've got the songs, we might even go straight back in working with Brian Howes again, because we loved working with him on the last album.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and we just do it the old school way, release the album, go out and tour the hell out of it.
Yeah, so that's what I like about this band, is you're doing it old school. That's, you know, sort of where I came from. You know, now I had another question on that. Oh, yeah. The first album that you ever purchased with your own money? What was that first one you brought home and you had to smell the vinyl?
So the Led Zeppelin 3.
Okay.
I think I got that off one. It was my brother's. It was on cassette. But I think mine was Razor's Edge, AC/DC.
AC/DC, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the story. Like, where'd you get the money? Did you save up, or did somebody give it to you, or?
Well, when I was younger, like I was still at school, when I wasn't making money, only getting pocket money. I didn't even get pocket money, actually. My brother, he had like some old Def Leppard cassettes, and of Led Zeppelin cassette and AC/DC. I think there was a TNT single. Nice. I just was listening to that, and that's how I kind of, my love for rock and roll kind of came about.
That one got you in there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But I think I was actually, I don't know, 16, 17 when I actually had a bit of spare money. I used to work for Dad, and paid me a bit. So
what was that album you bought?
That was Razor's Edge.
That was Razor's Edge, okay.
Yes.
So you grew up going through your brother's collection and then Razor's Edge. It's not a bad way to start. Anything else we need to plug? I mean, where are the websites? Where can we find you? What's your Twitter? All that fabulous stuff.
Well, there's the Airborne Facebook. There's airbornerock.com, the website, which has just recently been updated.
Right.
We have the Twitter. I'm the one out of the band that doesn't know the address to it. Joel's on that.
We'll find it.
But yeah, I'm sure you'll find it. Yeah, it's easy. And there's also, there's lots of things online. You can just type in Airborne, lots of...
Do you do the whole Twitter thing? Is it important to stay in direct contact with your
friends? Yeah, we try to. Joel gets on as much as he can. And, okay. You know, just has that direct, like, you know, connection with the fans after a show. Like,
but does it get creepy sometimes? Do you get that one or two fans that starts writing crazy stuff?
And I don't think so, no. Okay. That's something you might have to ask Joel. He's on it more than I am.
Gotcha.
But it's, it seems to work, you know, it's good.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hello, this is Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses, and I just released my own award-winning gourmet hot sauces, from the mild cherry bourbon Bumblicious to the over-the-top Bumblefucked. So, if you want to get Bumblefucked, visit bumblefoot.com for more information.
You've been listening to Dropping the Needle.
Dropping the Needle.
With Michael Brandvold and Mitch LaFon.